Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey everyone, welcome to Fat Mascara.
Welcome to Fat Mascara, a beauty and wellness, and today, sexy, sexy, sexy podcast. Wow. How are you doing, Jess?
I'm all right. I'm okay.
I know.
I am a little bummed that I did not get to chat with Emily myself, but I've got to tell you, like, she is a legend.
She's a force. You know, I thought this was cool too. I don't know who remembers Dr. Ruth, but like, she looms large in my, like, I feel like that's a Jess Matlin. Like, you definitely, like, she was part of your, like, 80s upbringing. And, like, not because you were listening to her because you were young, but, like, she was, like, a force of culture then. Remember?
Why do you associate me with Dr. Ruth?
Because I associate her for some reason with, like, VHS tapes and cable vision. And I feel like a lot of these, like, strong women that were on TV in the, like, the late 80s and 90s, like, really resonated with you.
Yeah, Dr. Ruth, I feel like I was very embarrassed by it. If Dr. Ruth came on TV, I was like, click.
Oh, click. Okay. I could see that. Well, the reason I bring up Dr. Ruth is because the New York Times actually called Emily Morse a Dr. Ruth for the new generation.
Well, then, that I'd feel a bit more comfortable with. Like, I think Dr. Ruth felt very like when a man and a woman, like, you know?
Yeah, it was weird. You know what's funny? Like, do you think that if she was like a sex pot, like, gorgeous woman, she could have said some of the things she didn't? Like, at that time, you didn't talk about these things.
I think
we still have trouble talking about sex and nakedness and bodies and that kind of stuff.
The whole thing was too uncomfortable back then.
Yeah, well, it still is for some people, and that's exactly why we wanted to have Emily on the show. So she's my guest. Jess wasn't here for the interview, but obviously loved the interview I did with her, clearly. Emily is the host of Sex with Emily. It's the longest-running sex podcast. She started it back in 2006. You guys think we know what we're doing with podcasts? She was doing it a decade before us. Since then, she earned a degree in human sexuality from the Institute for the Advanced Study of Human Sexuality, and we wanted to get together, Emily and I, to talk about being naked, why a lot of people aren't comfortable with that, how to get comfortable with being naked, all those products out there that aim, I mean, you see them in Ulta now. There's products like sex products, nakedness products, like it's become part of wellness. So we talk about that. And of course, because it's Emily, we talk about how getting comfortable with being naked can enhance sex. So heads up for those listening with like young ones around who aren't in the mood for sex talk for whatever reason. There's a lot of it in this episode. And I like to do that. I feel like I'm the guy from NPR when I do that. Like I think he says we acknowledge the presence of genitalia in this episode. Like whenever
it's
like
so
a family
funny.
Show. Yeah. So I just want to put it, you know, if this isn't what you want to listen to in the car with like your whole family, I totally get it. Or if you're just not in the mood. But you should be in the mood because Emily is a delight and really like your most non-judgmental friend.
We acknowledge the presence of genitalia.
That's the kind of society we're in where like you can't just talk about like, people call them private parts still. We talked about this, like how we can't just talk about it normal because it's
isn't
so,
it so like, crazy what you can be like 17 children were like, you know, like the most like horrific things in the world, but like you can't.
Or it's like you go to a movie with your parents when you were like a teen and like, God forbid, they like mention sex or whatever. And you're like next to your mother who might have given birth to you and definitely has had sex in her life. Like, anyway, Emily's your most non-judgmental friend other than me and Jess. And she's super well informed and you're going to love her as much as we do. So here's Emily. Emily, hi. Welcome to Fat Mascara. I love having a fellow podcaster on the show.
It's so good, right? I know. It's so nice to see you. Thanks for having me. I learned so much listening to your podcast about cleaning my house. I'm like, I'm obsessed right now. Makeup brushes.
Which episode you listened to then.
I was like, microfiber cloths. That's so funny. I've been like obsessed, changing my whole life. I love it.
I just bought them. I was influenced. Yeah, well, then you listened to a little bit of an odd one out of our normal wheelhouse of beauty. But I'm so excited to have you here because we're going to talk all the sexy sex things and nakedness.
I love it.
But before we get into you and your background, let's get into your background a little bit. You started a podcast, right, before you even became a sexologist. I can call you a sexologist,
yes,
right?
Yes, you can. You call me a sexologist, a sex educator. I did. I started a podcast in 2005. And I was sex curious. I was sexly. I had no education around sex. I was having sex. I wasn't enjoying sex. I thought it could be better because I'm like an overachiever. And I try to everything I do. I'm like, well, how could sex be amazing? It doesn't seem like it's as great as everyone else's. I started a podcast interviewing people about their sex life, their relationship, and interviewing experts as well in the field. But there wasn't that many. But yeah.
What then inspired you to study human sexuality?
Well, I always feel like I've always been a student of human sexuality in the sense of since I started having sex, I've always been curious about what makes great sex and what makes it work, what makes it feel good, doesn't feel good. And then once I started the podcast and I realized, I started the podcast from a place of thinking that there was so much more to learn and that sex could be better. And maybe I was missing something because I didn't know about it. Like I thought, well, maybe there's some secret. And then the more I started interviewing people, I realized that nobody really knew anything about sex, that nobody was really talking about it. And that everybody was kind of figuring it out based on some very limited information that isn't accurate. So I thought there's really a need for this. Like I think I could help people. I'm helping myself, helping others. So then I went back to grad school and got my doctorate in human sexuality a few years after the podcast. So I was in night school doing the podcast.
I'm thinking back to sex ed. I'm like, I learned nothing about pleasure, nothing about partnerships, nothing about consent. This was like very long ago.
Yeah.
Lots about STIs and venereal
That's
disease.
It.
Like I could name every disease.
It's all exactly. It's all fear-based. It's like, don't get pregnant, don't get an STI and, you know, have a nice life. And you're like, well, what about it feeling good, right? What about all the joys that can come from it? So there's none of that. And it still is the same way. So still trying to change that.
But you got a degree. Yeah, is a doctor?
I mean, in school, it's not like that. Oh, yeah. My daughter, it's basically a program exploring the intersections of power and sexuality and understanding our own bodies, anatomy.
Do you see private clients to help them? I mean, you help
I don't
people
anymore.
On your podcast.
Right. I help you on my podcast.
But you used to.
I used to, yeah, in grad school and a little bit after grad school. But I realized that it just sort of, I'm a podcaster and I love talking to people and helping them with information. And there's such an anonymity to doing podcasting. So it was a really great format for sex. So yeah, I've just been helping.
Yeah.
I always said I'd rather help a million people with one show than one-on-one.
Yeah. Well, let's do that. Let's reach a million people and destigmatize and stuff. So I know you are all about destigmatizing sex, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to talk specifically about nakedness. Yes, with sexuality as well, but sometimes just nakedness for the sake of nakedness, like getting people comfortable with their bodies and how they look naked. It's really something that comes up a lot on a beauty and wellness podcast. So to start, like personally, what's your relationship like with nakedness or your own
my
naked
own
body?
Nakedness?
How do you feel about it?
You know, I feel like it's a relationship, just like every other relationship, and it's always growing and changing and evolving. Our bodies are always changing. And so I think that that's something that you just have to accept. And for me, it's been a journey. And I think that definitely since I became a student of sexuality and human sexuality and understanding the importance of having agency over our bodies and being responsible for our own pleasure, our own orgasms, our own everything, that I have to a good relationship with my body. And so I really have had to work on that. And once I learned that and how that looks is just honestly being so grateful and so amazed and connected to my body for all of the pleasure it can give me and all the things that it can do. And when I really drop in with a partner or with myself and I can just sort of be more embodied, I talk a lot about embodiment, which is the practice of being in your body rather than being outside of your body and always kind of concerned with how it looks and how other people think it should look. So when you really are present with that, and I just try to like, I'm amazed, right? So when I'm actually in the moment with somebody, I don't spend a lot of time anymore in my head thinking about what it should look like, the light should be off like a lot of people do. Because what I try to do through my destigmatizing sexuality is encouraging people in all genders. You know, I do talk to women a lot, but it's everybody feeling safe and comfortable in their bodies and realizing when those negative thoughts come into our head, like I should be, you know, for me, I'm like, I need a spray tan. Like I worry, don't get me wrong. I don't walk around thinking like I always look perfect, but I really try to be present and connected to what I'm feeling in the moment rather than what I'm thinking in the moment. So when I'm in a sexual situation, let's say I'm with a partner and I'm thinking about how great it feels to be connected and everything in my body, it melts away. So all the negative thoughts that are letting people believe that they can't be sexual and they can't be turned on, they melt away when you're truly in your body and present and focused. No one's ever asked me how I feel. Am I naked? So I think it's a great question.
And I love that you took it to sex right away, but I even was just thinking, I know people, this isn't me, I would like this to be, who just do things in their life naked, like around the house.
Right.
Like, what percentage of your day are you naked,
No, not enough. I'm not enough naked all the day. But when I am
or
naked.
Or sleep naked even. I don't sleep naked. I have a friend that sleeps naked.
Well, naked's a practice. So I do sleep naked. Well, I like sleeping naked. I don't walk around naked as enough, but if I could, I would. I do love being naked. There's certain things like, you know, probably shouldn't do naked, but people do everything naked. But I feel like it is a practice. And so over time, that's part of it, is like getting comfortable being naked, like looking in the mirror. So if you have a problem with your challenge around your body, the more you could actually be naked in your room, you're like 10 minutes a day, I'm going to walk around naked. I'm going to look in the mirror and I'm going to force myself to say something that I like about my body. Doesn't have to be love, but like you'd be like, my ears look really great with these earrings, or my skin is glowing today. Look at my cheekbones. It could be whatever you really want, but it's, if you think about it, like everything is a practice, right? So why not practice learning to be connected to your body? Because the big challenge with sex comes is when we all feel disconnected. We don't like our bodies. We're hating it all day, or we're dieting, or we're restricting. And then we like go to have sex with somebody and we're like, why aren't I turned on? Why can't I have an orgasm? It's because you're hating your body every day, all day. So learn to like connect.
Yeah.
Body neutrality.
And maybe that is I've heard this thing like to make friends, like in adulthood, which is something I struggle with. You have to spend something like, I forget what it was, like 60 hours with the person before you become friends. And I'm just thinking, as you're talking, like, couldn't tell you if I spent 60 hours with myself naked this year.
Wow.
I don't know.
Okay, Jen.
So maybe.
This is good. Let's do it. Let's like, let's have you.
Right? Yeah. Like, so maybe that, if you're wanting me to have a better relationship, and the way to have a good relationship is spend time with that thing or that person, let's spend time with our nakedness.
Exactly.
Because honestly, I don't. And that's why I wanted to talk about it, because I feel like it's cultural too. Like, I feel like Americans have a particularly squeamish point of view when it comes to nakedness. Mm-hmm. What's that about? Do you see that?
Yeah, I do see that. I think that we don't have a lot of great models around sexuality and around feeling comfortable in our bodies. And most people, it's like covered up. We're a very puritanical society where we're told, like, you know, from a young age, just to always be covered up and that it's wrong. And if you show too much skin or too much, you know, whatever, we'll be judged. And so I think that we are just very, because it's not modeled to us. There's no one saying like, it's okay, your body's beautiful. Our parents are mostly like, cover up, don't let anyone touch you. And so I think it's all about modeling. And that's why we are squeamish, you know, for sure. We all want to have sex. We know that. But then we are so judgmental and private about it.
Yeah. And it does get very sexualized, because I'm thinking about like in Europe, you know, you'll watch television and there's just breasts swinging around like no big deal. Or even on the beaches before, like, you know, I don't know where you live, if you're allowed to be topless. You couldn't, when I was growing up, like you couldn't be topless. You'd get like a ticket.
Yeah.
Which is unheard of in other parts of the world.
Right. Yeah.
Like that's how people walk around all day long. Yeah. Like it's almost making us like fear or sexualize our own bodies by doing mm-hmm. that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they police our bodies in so many ways. And, you know, I think that the problem is that we are so uncomfortable even with our genitals, that even from a young age when we're pre-verbal, and our parents are like telling us like our name of our toes and our knees and our thighs, and then they're like your belly button, and then you're like, well, what happened to this part between my legs right here? Like, there's no name for it. It's we're you know, it's your vajayjay or your pp or your wee wee. So
or hoo-ha. Why do we make such juvenile?
Exactly, because so then that's what you're hearing. You're like, it's my hoo-ha or it's my nothing. So I certainly don't know what to do with this body part, but I'm not going to like put it on display and be comfortable with it. So it's like normalizing that. And that's how you know, if you have kids, like you just got to call it, name the parts. That's the first thing in sex ed, like name the parts, just name them.
And how do you feel about people who have like these nicknames for tatas, even like we're talking about any sort of like part of the body that isn't actually the anatomical? Because like anatomical names are not sexy always.
Well, that's the problem. I think that sex needs a whole rebrand. And it's something I've been trying. Like no one wants to say like any of these words. I know they're just like even vagina or vulva. Penis is not so bad. But some of these words just don't roll off your tongue. And then you just make up names for them. But I honestly think that that's doing us a disservice. And if the mission is to normalize a conversation and to get everybody to feel really good in their bodies and have more pleasure, we just got to be like, yeah, I know this isn't a great name, but we're just going to say it. We're going to say vagina. But when I started my show, I did the podcast, but I was also on radio. I got this radio show, and it was in 2006, and I could not say vagina at all on the air. Couldn't say it. Like, think about it. It's like the body, it's your body part.
Wait, like it would get bleeped?
Yeah, get bleeped.
Like it was a bad word?
I could say masturbation once every 20 minutes. And then I get bleeped. Oh, I was always getting bleeped and pulled off
the air. I'm thinking of Private Parts, the movie, and watching Howard Stern. And I was like, there was a time when you could not use these words.
And so you still, it's just because we don't really have such a misunderstanding of them and of sexuality, and women's sexuality is so intimidating. And so we just kind of try to lock it all down. But not today, because we're talking about it, right? Every time someone hears
that's
this.
So true.
Yeah, maybe they'll go home and have a conversation with their kids or their friends' kids or their own selves and just be like, I'm not going to have shame in this. I'm going to use the parts. I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to be naked more often.
I know we're making it sound so easy it's just like, get naked more often and you'll be comfortable. Then look in the mirror and tell yourself you're beautiful. Like it gets wrapped up like that sometimes.
I don't want to wrap it. That's why it's so, some of it seems so cliche. So I love that you, let me bring this up again. Like I have days and weeks and months where I'm just like, oh God.
Break it down for us.
I like just think, you know, if I lose 5 pounds or if I look different or I did more, I would be better. I mean, we get caught up in this thing. My pants are tight. But what I really found is that when too much time has gone past, I'm just in my head about it. I literally like force myself because I've been doing the look in the mirror and learn to like for so many years now that I just stop and I look in the mirror and I'll take like my favorite lotions. I love Osea. You're going to ask me like Osea. That I love their body oil. Yeah. And I literally, because I love the way it smells, my skin's wet, and I rub it on my body. And that whole act of it is just like, oh my God, look at my skin. It's glistening. And I, even though it's painful, I'm like, I don't want to look, I'll just do it. I put lotion on my body and I will like, this feels pretty good. Like I'm putting stuff in my body. It's nurturing. It's a nurturing act. And then I feel connected to it. And then I'm not thinking about how it looks. I'm thinking about how it feels with this lotion that I'm treating myself to that feels really, I'm taking a moment.
Oh, so we're not doing this exercise in front of a mirror per se.
No,
this
I am.
Just like sometimes you rubbing in some.
Sometimes okay. It is in front of a mirror. Like I think I start in front of the mirror because it's my bathroom. And I start in the mirror because the mirror is reminding me. This is so fun. I've never broke this down so meta, but like the mirror is reminding me like, okay, you have a negative, like you're thinking like, oh, this doesn't look good. I'm like, wait. And then I realize I know the importance of the connection. So I'll just start to put oil on. And yeah, I'll start up here. Then maybe I'll start to put my body. I'll sit on the toilet, start to rub it on, you know, wherever I sit in the bathroom and rub it on my body. And then I'll just like walk out of the bathroom and I'll put on my underwear and I'll look in the mirror as I'm getting dressed. I will look at myself and I breathe. And I just realize like I'm the same person, all the amazing things my body can do. That I have all these, you know, try to think of all the things that I'm about to go out and see friends who I love and they make me feel good. And it just sort of, I just sort of get reconnected with it. I'm trying to think of a good analogy. It's like exercise, right? Too. It's like if you don't love exercising, but then that first time you get back to the gym and you go for the run, you're like, oh, it's so hard getting up the hill, but you know you're going to feel better. That's how I know the importance of my body, of me not being connected to my body. So I just try to do the little things that go, yeah, we're all together. We're in this together. We all want the same things. My body's me.
Yeah. You're making me think of mirror meditation. There's a book that just came out on this, but I had a guest on who talked about this practice. When putting on makeup or face lotion or something, just the act of staring at your own face is like, yes, a form of meditation, mm-hmm, for some people. But I've never thought about it as like the full-length mirror meditation.
Yeah. Do the full-length.
Which it probably works. If it works to reconnect you with your psyche when you're looking at your face, why wouldn't it work with your body?
Right. Well, Jen, exactly. It absolutely works with your body. And I want to take it one step further to the mirror exercise. I'm a huge fan of, okay, women. I mean, all genders, but I'm just going to say women have these vaginas, vulvas, right? The external part of your vagina, which is actually quite, mm-hmm, amazing to look at and to understand. But most of us could not pick our vagina out of a lineup, our vulva. You see them on the wall, you're like, I don't know which one's mine, right? So it's, okay, it's literally what's responsible for pleasure in life. If you have babies, you give birth. So you take a mirror, and this also makes people go cringe. Like, I could never do that. But it's like, what? Like, this is actually like your power source. And then you start to, like, if you're just touching yourself, maybe through masturbation, just getting to know yourself, and you look, and then you realize, like, okay, it's interesting. Get curious about it. And this is also a great way to learn your body and what feels good to you, because you're like, I'm just going to start to touch it. And then you realize that the more aroused, the more turned on you get, that you see that it swells like a flower. You think about like Georgia O'Keeffe. And I mean, I feel like I'm that woman now. Like, it's like, everyone look, but truly, like, that's.
Wow, you took it to a beautiful place.
Yeah.
Because I have seen, you know, bumping uglies. Like, people have, a lot of people have negative connotations of the visuals they get when they're looking at external genitalia.
Right.
You know?
We got to flip that, because the reason that, first of all, you have nothing to, like, because people are judging it against, people are judging their vulvas against a unrealistic standard they see, like in porn, and those it's kind of like they're airbrushed too. Those vulvas have makeup on it. They're turned towards camera. They're cheated towards camera. There's certain, maybe only
they don't put makeup on their vulvas.
Do. Yeah, they
do. In porns?
They do. Not like every.
Do they CGI it ever? Like retouching?
They do everything that we do. They do, especially in photographs.
I never thought about that. I thought that was only for like regular film. Yeah.
They do it everywhere. So if you think about it, yeah, exactly. So we think, and then we don't see that many of them. So we think that's how it should look. And everyone thinks like, oh, my vulvas and my labias are different, but every single one's different. There's not like a standardized, you know, way of it looking. And the more, like, the most confident thing in the world is a woman who's like, I know my body. I know how to work it. I know what feels good to me. And I feel confident in it. And it's the same thing with our genitals. So it's almost like shock therapy. If you're like, I can't do it, I can't do it. Then you do it. And you're like, okay, it's mine. I get it. And then you just sort of make that connection. Because if you don't love it and learn to live with it and drive it, then like, how are we going to get anyone else to want to please it and to want to do all the things that you want for it? So people are not happy with it, though.
Include the hoo-ha. I'm not even saying, I did that just to be funny because that's what people call it. But yeah. Obviously, include your vulva in this whole mirror experiment we're talking about with nakedness.
And I wasn't going to go there either, Jen, today. But, you know, when we're talking about the mirrors, we just got to go between our legs. Yeah, do it. Include all of it.
I get it. But that brings up a question. Since we're talking about pleasure, like, do you think we need to be naked to have good sex?
I don't. I don't think you have to be naked, but if you have a problem being naked, then that's a problem. Like, if you want to wear a furry, you know, you wear like a furry suit when there's people called furries.
Yeah.
You want to be dressed when you have sex every time because that's part of your kink. That's really cool. But if you absolutely want to, don't ever want to be naked when you're having sex, I mean, I always want to look at the underneath, like, how else is that impacting other areas of your life?
Yeah.
But I have to say this. The most important thing about feeling comfortable is if you in the bedroom and during sex and all the things, like if you're like, you know what, I don't love my body hanging out, I'm going to wear something that makes me feel sexy. So for example, for me, sometimes I just like when I feel, I love wearing like one shoulder shirts, right? Like I always kind of feel sexy if I have a big oversized sweater on. Sometimes I'll wear like something like this, not like a white shirt during sex that just sort of shows parts of my body that I'm feeling great in, or I'll leave my underwear on because I feel sexy that way, or a scarf or props, if you will. So I think the thing about sex is to think about what is going to make me feel the most confident and sexy, because it's fun to play with different materials and different things in the bedroom. So I think this binary, you're naked, you're not naked, is sex is creativity too. So figure out how you want to be naked. But that whole like, the lights have to be out, I'm going to run to the bed and pull the covers over me, just speaks to shame. And it speaks to shame, and it speaks to like just, you know, insecurities, which we all have. But I also think we all have the goals of wanting connection and intimacy and sex. So I'm just like, learn to just kind of get comfortable with it. And it starts with yourself.
Hold up. This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
This episode of Fat Mascara is sponsored by BetterHelp. Listen, we all carry around different stressors, big and small. Therapy is a safe space to get those things off your chest. Plus, it can help you develop coping skills that make your life easier. I will give you an example. If you've listened to this podcast for a while, you've probably heard me say it to Jess or to a guest. Reframe. Well, I learned that technique from a therapist. Here's an example. Now that I'm a freelance writer and podcaster, I get lonely working from home, and I feel like I'm never going to get to collaborate on projects again. And that's the truth. Reframe. I get to choose which projects I work on, so I'm in control of what I work on. And if I want to collaborate more with others, I don't have to ask anyone's permission. I can just do it. See what I did there? That's reframing. If you've been thinking about starting therapy or are looking for someone to help you process things and give you coping skills, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/mascara today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/mascara. Again, betterhelp.com/mascara. I love beauty, so I am willing to experiment when it comes to, say, makeup or new lip color. But with hair care, if I find something that actually works, I do not need to mess around and keep trying other things. For me, lately that's been Vegamore, a line designed to make your hair and scalp visibly healthier. Jess and I started using Vegamore about 10 months ago now. I've been using the Grow Serum, and I think I've mentioned this on the podcast, but my hair is growing faster than ever. It's not just growing longer, it's thicker too. Like, people have been noticing and telling me how great it looks. And I'm not gonna lie, I kind of love when people notice my hair. I use the Vegamore Grow Hair Serum and their revitalizing shampoo and conditioner. But I have to mention that you should not sleep on their dry shampoo. It's great for in-between wash days, but it doesn't build up like some other dry shampoos, and it smells really good too. If you get one of Vegamore's value kits, like the Grow Essentials Kit or the Everyday Kit, which actually has the dry shampoo I was talking about, you can try more than one amazing product at a great savings. And when you sign up for a monthly subscription, you save even more, and you never run low on the products you need to take care of your hair. If you want gorgeous, healthy hair, the key is consistency, and Vegamore makes it easy. Fun fact, Vegamore sells one bottle of Grow Serum every 15 seconds on their website. That's how good this stuff is. Give your hair the power of the little pink bottle with Vegamore. For a limited time, Fat Mascara listeners get 20% off their first order by going to vegamore.com/fatmascara and using the code FATMASCARA at checkout. That's Vegamore, VEGAMOUR.com/fatmascara, code FATMASCARA to save 20% on your first order. VEGAMOUR, vegamore.com/fatmascara, code FATMASCARA. It's so funny when you brought up like clothing or what props, whatever, that make you feel good with like lingerie. So long, it's been created for the gaze of the other person.
Yes.
In fact, even when I was like, when I was getting married, I was like, oh, I'm going to go get some special lingerie. What would he like?
Right.
Duh. Why did I even think that way? I should have thought, what would I like to be wearing?
Jen, because people don't think this. So it's a reverse way of thinking about it. I always tell women, like, usually people come to me like, how do I give a great, you know, oral sex, blowjob? I'm like, well, what do you want? Like, so reversing the whole, this is—
How do you receive a great
How
one?
Do you receive it? How do you receive? How do you receive? How do you feel sexy? Because I'm telling you, the more that women feel sexy and empowered in their body, and they know what they want, and they know how to do it, like, the better sex they're going to have. The male gaze is going to come along to whatever we find sexy. So it's reversing that paradigm, reversing the responsibility. So it's everything that you're picking up on. What looks sexy to you? What makes you feel the sexiest rather than, yeah, whatever you're going to find out there. And it might not be uncomfortable lingerie. So.
And one hopes you find a sexual partners that at least you have some overlap in what you agree is
yeah,
sexy.
Yeah, and
that
if you
way.
Don't, they're not your person either. That's the thing also, like trying to fit into.
So
like,
if everything's compatible and yet your sexual flavors are completely different, you don't think you could make that
No.
She's shaking her head.
I'm shaking my head. No, I think that, okay, well, most people get into relationships. The majority of people get in relationships and they don't ever talk about this because it's really great at the beginning. Sex is great. Like every first, you know, it's like your first meal somewhere, your first time you touch this person's body. It's all amazing. But then it's a honeymoon phase. And after a while, after about 6 months or 2 years, it starts to take a dip and you don't feel that same chart.
Oh, do we have stats on that?
We do.
Is that right?
Yeah.
6 months to two
oh,
years.
Oh, yeah. The honeymoon phase and is then, an actual NRE, okay. New relationship energy. All of that is actual biological condition. And so like everything, like our pheromones and all the newness is exciting. But after that period of time, and it's about 6 months to 2 years where it lasts. The sweet spot is probably about a year, year and a half. You start to feel like, I don't actually want to rip this person's clothes off every time they walk in. I'm not as aroused. And then you start to think, you know what would really be hot or you know what I'd be into? And then we start having the conversations with our partner. If we do, most people yeah. actually don't even not have that, but they do. And then they're like, oh, I want something totally different. Like I have this fetish or this kink. And then they try to bring it together. That's a problem. So I always encourage couples to talk before you walk down the aisle at early stage in the relationships. Like, what are my turn-ons? What am I into? So, but to answer your question, yeah. So if it's completely opposite, like I need you to be wearing this thing every time and saying this kind of thing during sex, and it's just not, and that's not your thing, like it's not going to work. But if I think that most couples can find a common ground if they really sort of want to, because mostly what we think we want isn't what we necessarily want. And every time you have sex with someone, it's like you're co-creating that sexual relationship. So if you're in love with someone and you love your partner.
Wait, what we think we want isn't actually what we
yeah,
want?
Yeah, like, okay, so let's say we think I only want a partner who, like, okay, let's talk about a man. His whole life, he's like, I've been looking at these Victoria's Secret catalogs and I want my partner to okay. be all these things. She's going to wear this. She's going to do that. I'm going to get blowjobs for dinner and it's going to be all these things. But eventually you're in love with someone and they're great. You just realize like, oh, I actually realize that the greatest turn on for me is when my partner, when she's feeling most aroused and most in her body, and she's telling me mm-hmm. that wearing this white shirt and using this toy and all these things is where I've seen her. That makes her most in her sexuality and her power. Like, that is the hottest thing I've ever seen. So that's what I'm talking to. It's like, if you, but that needs to be the right person who can, like, who has depth and.
You can talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so again, it's a language. Sex is a language in itself.
And I know we're destigmatizing the nakedness and we want to get comfortable with our bodies. So I don't want to introduce body issues where people might not have them because a lot of people feel great about that. But we do often get questions from listeners about specific parts of their body that they're unhappy with when they're unclothed, whatever it might be. So I'm curious, is there, like, how do you know if it's something that you should or could potentially get surgery for or change? Like, when is that? Like, I tried to get comfortable with, you know, my labia or my breasts or the cellulite on the back of my, and I just can't do it.
Yeah, Jen, I'm okay with that. No, here's the thing. We all have body insecurity. So no one's weird. I'm talking about this, like, I want everyone to have aspiration to think like, oh, I could get there. It's possible. But we still have all of these insecurities all the time. And so I think if you want to get plastic surgery and your breasts, you're like you said, your liposuction, all the things, and it's truly going to make you feel better. And you know that, like, I think absolutely, like, do that. If it makes you feel better, amazing. What I don't recommend is I don't recommend labia surgery. I really don't, unless the labia is such a problem where I was talking to a gynecologist once on my show, and she said that she had a patient whose labia was really, really low, like to the point where, like, she had to, like, tuck it in. It interfered with her ability to, like, she was a swimmer. She couldn't wear it in the swimsuit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, then it is impacting with your day-to-day life. It is uncomfortable. Then get labiaplasty. But otherwise, if it's just for, like, because you don't like the way it looks, like, check out the Vulva Gallery on Instagram. There's a few of these accounts. I think it's called the Vulva Gallery. You'll see, like, there's so many different kinds. Like all labias are different sizes.
We have pictures of vulvas on Instagram. Is that allowed?
They're drawings. They're animation drawings. They're sketches.
Oh, drawings. Okay.
But
okay.
It's like,
still helpful.
Like check out a vulva. Because I think it's like people just don't, right? We're like, oh, it's weird. Or someone maybe shamed you once. So it's really just educating ourselves around. So no, I don't recommend labiaplasty. But I mean, come on. Like I get other things that, you know, that you want to do to your body that you think will make you feel better. That's not as harmful because you could also, you know, things could go wrong there too. You don't want to cut off your clitoris.
Is there a curve? Like say you want a breast reduction. If you've been thinking about it for a while, whatever, like, is there a time you should sit with that before you do it? Like is any like checklisty kind of things in your mind that you think would be things to do before you take that
That's
step?
A really good question. I think there are checklists. I mean, I think that it's like, I mean, you don't want to impulsively, I don't think you want to impulsively do that either, but I think with it, think of why you want to get it. Make a list, like the pros, the cons. Think about like what I think like what you think it's going to do for you, what you think it's going to make you feel. And if it's something that's like I'm going to have more confidence, I'm going to feel sexier, I'm going to, you know, I think that we have to be careful about what we assign certain things to. Like if you think it's going to be the magic pill that's going to save your whole life, you know, it's not. But yeah. I think taking your time, talking to other people who had the surgery, really getting educated about it. But I don't like putting time limits on things, but I think just not being impulsive and, you know, I'm not an expert in this part of it, but I feel like making sure you're doing it for the right reasons. And that is maybe because you're uncomfortable in your body, maybe physically and emotionally.
Well, you are sort of an expert in partnerships.
Yes.
So I'm thinking about who should not get plastic surgery. I'm guessing if your partner wants you to get plastic surgery, that might not be a good reason to do it.
That's a terrible reason to do it. I think that is, yeah. Listen, if your partner's pressuring you and says like, once you get these, I'm going to pay, I don't know. This is probably not that. I don't know. I don't feel great about your partner dictating what you should do to your body and how you should, you know.
It often comes, I've heard of it with friends and things, with like a money thing too. Like they don't make it like you should fix your whatever. It's like, I'll pay for it, just like a gift. But I think that's so loaded.
So loaded. If my partner was like, hey, you want a breast job? Like I'll pay. I'd be like, oh, you don't like my breast? You know, yeah, no, that is so loaded. It's so tricky, Jen, because people are always like, how do I get my partner to like get back in shape and lose weight? And it's like, do I buy him a gym membership? Like, even that is tricky. I'm like, well, you know, you could.
Okay, let's go that way. I know. I feel like we've been sticking to the, like, we're not happy with how. What if you're in a partnership and the person that you're having sex with, they have something about their body that you just don't find attractive, but you have good sex and you find them attractive?
It's a really good question.
Just try and ignore it, suck it up.
I think you got to go a little bit deeper. Like, what is it that you don't like? Like, do you really not like it? Is it something that maybe, does it mean something else? Like, okay, so let's say this is a typical scenario. Your partner, you've been together, you feel like they've let themselves go or they don't go to the gym as much. So now they have a stomach on them where they didn't before.
Okay.
And so then you're like, ugh, we're having sex. I just don't find it as hot anymore. Bump it up against me and this whole thing. But then I think if we take a moment, because I've had these conversations with people, it's like, well, what is it really? Well, he used to always go to the gym and now he's not. And he also hasn't been looking for a new job. So once you start going deeper, it's very rarely about the physicality of it. It's rarely about the stomach. It's because he hasn't followed through in his word. I resent him. He feel like he's taking advantage of the situation. He's not providing. Like it's all these other things that actually is the physical. Usually it's a representation of something else. So once you can do that work around those things and you can have that depth around it, then I think you're not going to be focused on this. It's not really about that, right?
No, but now I'm like going through all of my past partners and I'm like, that one had really weird toenails. Like, I don't know if that was about anything deeper than just he had really weird toenails.
Maybe not.
Do I just like,
not everything has depth.
Have him put some socks on?
Well, that might also show that like he is not interested in hygiene. Mean. No, you're like, this person.
Oh, you're right.
This
right,
I'm
right,
telling
right, right.
you. Their
like,
values,
go get a pedicure, man.
Go get a pedicure. Why does he not know that? Like, it could be something else too. I'm not, and listen, this is not, sometimes people just have a stomach and you're like, I actually don't have a lot of depth. That's true too. That might be it. And I think you just kind of, it's tricky unless you have a partner that's, you know, they probably want to change too. So, you know, they probably aren't happy if it's changed since you've been with them. They probably aren't that psyched about it. So if there's ways you can have a healthier lifestyle together, work out together, eat different foods, that's all cool too, you know?
You keep bringing up the extra 5 pounds and that, whatever. I feel like that must come up a lot with like people that you're talking to with sexual issues.
All the time.
It sounds like that one's like a popular one, huh?
Yes, always the 5 pounds. Oh, the weight, everything.
Yeah, wait.
Yeah, it comes up a lot. Yeah. I mean, no, to be honest, I'm just trying. It doesn't come up as much as you'd think. What comes up, at least on my show, people aren't talking about not being attracted to their partner anymore. I've just been doing this for almost 20 years, so I get everything. The majority of what people want to talk about is how to communicate. So most of my show is about getting people to communicate in a healthy way with their partners about their own needs and their own desires, and starting with themselves, starting with knowing their own bodies, getting comfortable in their bodies, accepting, you know, themselves, and then being able to communicate to the partner what they want, like making sexuality.
I should have communicated, let's go get pedicures.
Exactly. You could have been like, you know what? I thought this would be really fun, and then we'll get brunch, right?
Don't you think people see through that, though, where it's like the, like, let's do it together. Let's go get pedicures. My feet are cute. Yours suck.
Maybe they do, but then we got to get past that. I mean, I know you're asking, it's true, they might, but it's kind of like, I have this friend, and she was on my show, my friend Lisa Bilyeu. She's got a platform. She's like Women of Impact and stuff. And she would say that she's, again, this is kind of related to what you're saying. She was get so frustrated because she used to have to, she loves flowers. And on her birthday, every year she wanted flowers, but her husband would always forget. So finally she just like put it on his calendar and like told his assistant, like, I need flowers. And then she got the flowers. And she's like, you could be thinking like, I can't believe I had to ask for it. But the truth is she got what he needed. She got the flowers and it like happened. So I feel like maybe there's that one moment.
Was she less satisfied or was she still satisfied with the flowers?
She loves the flowers. She's so happy with the flowers.
That's so funny.
But the same thing goes with sex. If we could
get what you want.
Get what you want. And we're so worried about, the reason why we don't talk about sex is because we're so afraid of that reaction, right? Whether it's get your toenails clipped or you should go down on me more. It's so terrifying that we just stay in silence with it or we walk away from it because we don't know how to deal with the problem. But if you think about it, the bigger picture is I want us both to have pleasure and to feel good. So even if your partner's a little uncomfortable, it feels disingenuous, you're doing it from a place of love and connection. And if we could all get past that, we're like, this person actually loves, you know, just get past the stuff that we think is going to blow up our lives and just realize, what is the goal here? We both want the same things. We both want to be great lovers to each other, have great sex, have great intimacy, you know? So you just got to get out of your own way sometimes.
If we're going to have these kind of conversations, whether it's about us being comfortable with our nakedness or something with their body, like, is the time to, I'm assuming the time to do it is not right when you want to have sex.
No.
Or is it?
No, the best time to have conversations about sex is outside the bedroom. I have like three T's of
not naked.
Not naked.
Bad naked.
The irony, the only thing, yes, I'm all for being naked all the fucking time. But don't be naked when you want to have serious talks about your sex life. Outside the bedroom.
Yeah.
Do it when you're on a walk. When you're in a car.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you're driving.
I say that. That's so funny. My husband and I say some of the best conversations, like when we're not facing each other. So sitting in the car.
That's it.
The same direction. And I guess a walk would be the same.
Same.
Because you feel so vulnerable when you open up about these things.
Yeah, that's why.
So don't be naked. Don't be staring deep in their
naked.
Eyes.
Don't be naked. Be on a road trip so you can't actually look at each other. It's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't have
it
to.
It does help.
Because I know it's hard. So I have a 3 T's of communication guide at sexwithemily.com. It's like how to have any difficult conversation. So you can download that guide. It'll help you.
We'll send people there, but now I just have to know, because if it's just 3 T's, what are the T's?
Timing, tone, and turf. I can tell you. Timing.
Okay, time. We got three. That's what we said. Timing, tone. Timing, not right when you have sex. Tone.
Light and curious.
Kindness,
not
sure.
Judgmental. Not like we need to talk about our sex life. What are you doing all these things wrong? But your tone is light and curious, and the turf is outside the bedroom.
And neutral, maybe, if you don't live together. Like, let's do it like in a neutral zone.
Exactly.
Right? Yes. In the middle of the restaurant.
No. Not with
We've
food.
All seen that couple.
No one's ever happy when the conversation happens with there's food on the table and the waitress coming. I've messed that up.
Okay. Also, not the good time.
Not a good time.
It's good to
not
know.
Not a good time.
We did talk about bodies and, like, the body shape and the body parts. We didn't talk about skin as much. And I feel like we're all hairy creatures, you know? We're mammals. We've been through life. We have scars. We have stretch marks.
All the things.
What's your thought on dealing with those things? Can products help improve them?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Here's the thing. We care so much, as you know, products on our face. Like hyaluronic acid, you can put it on your vulva. There's a lot of companies now that are making creams and lotions and serums just for your vulva. And I think, yes, over time, it gets drier. It changes. There's wrinkles. All the things. So definitely care for the skin all over your body.
find some pH balance, guys, made for the vulva. Well, you were talking about that mirror meditation. It's true. Like, you wouldn't even know if you're like, wait, my vulva's dry. I wouldn't even know unless I did that
mirror
thing.
The pH balance is inside. Externally, you just need the creams and the lotions that aren't going inside. But your pH balance, yeah, you also need.
But then if you go have some penetration,
right,
it might
be
get
careful.
In there.
Always make body safe products. But yeah, like, you have to care about the skin on your face and the skin between your legs. It's true. You never thought about it.
I actually just... Well, there's this product called, I think it's called Uber Lube that I always liked, which also makes a great hair serum, by the way.
I love Uber Lube.
You know Uber Lube.
I know that forever, yeah.
And someone was telling me, depending on how things are marketed, like, it can't be called a lubricant if it will get inside of you. Do you know anything about this?
I do.
Like,
yeah. There's an FDA.
Why is that? Like,
there's a lot of challenges with the word, with using the word lubricant, because it's actually like a medical device, and so you have to get so you have to get FDA approval, so that can be challenging to call some things a lubricant that are a lubricant, so you can't that they're making it, so there's certain things
so an external moisturizer that you might think in your head, oh, I'm looking for lubricant, because like that's what we think of when we think of lotion for down there. I do, at least. I don't know, you're not looking for that, because that's something to help facilitate like penetrative sex,
right.
I guess.
Yes, exactly. Well, lubricant is more for penetrative sex. So I would recommend, there's one called Playground that it's made for women by women. And it's amazing because it has like ashwagandha and it has all these things in it that are actually good for your skin. It has these like wonderful flavors and scents. And it's also, it's moist. The reason why I love this brand, it's probably one of the first, do I have one of their bottles here? I don't. It's one of the first brands that actually has all these ingredients in it that are really carefully sourced, that you could use it externally, internally for women. And Uber Lube is only one ingredient because it's silicone. It's literally just launched. So I'm like, Playground.
I'm looking it up.
Their website
Playground.
Is...
because these things, like, you don't even know what to search.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess they wouldn't be calling it a lubricant, even if it ended up lubing you up because of what you just were talking about. And that's true. Like, if that's going to help you feel good, why wouldn't you do that?
Exactly.
What nice packaging over at Hello Playground.
Yeah, they have thoughtful like ingredients, you know. It's healthy. It's like it makes your skin, like it has vitamin E, hydrating hyaluronic acid, bamboo extract, mimics natural lubrication for a silky slip that just won't quit. So I have them everywhere. I love them. I'm like, it has a pop top. Well, here's the other thing.
They're calling it a personal lubricant, as opposed to a sexual lubricant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, right. And it's...
Here's the thing. Go ahead. What's the thing?
No, it's the thing. Okay, here's my other thing. My big thing is that I am such a huge fan of lube. I always have been. And I feel like that women, because this is like, and you'll like this, backed in science, that the Kinsey Institute did a study and they showed when you add a few drops of lube to any sexual situation, when a woman does, she's 80% more likely to orgasm from just a few drops of lube. Because our clitoris is not self-lubricating. And so like for me, like, you know, maybe you would say you wouldn't go out without sunscreen. I'm just making assumptions with your skin, with your show.
You know me well.
Okay. But yes. I won't either. And I won't have sex without lube. Like, I literally will not, because I know no matter, because the reason why we don't though, and the reason why I love Playground, because they're just making a brand for women by women, is because lube has such a bad rap. Like, because we think I'm not dry and I'm too dry. So if I need lube, something's wrong with me. And then the guys think there's something wrong with me because I needed lube. But the truth is, the science shows that our wetness level is not an indicator of our arousal. So you can be wet and not turned on.
Why did we learn that on like the high school playground,
Jen,
or wherever?
It's not true. You're not always wet.
It's like 101, like after sex ed, some kid told you that and then you believe it for the rest of your life.
So I'm here to tell you that...
So introduce the lubricants early in the sexual relationship.
Oh, yeah.
Like, as if it's not even a thing.
It's on my nightstand. It is literally... I bring it everywhere. I have little bottles. I love the Uber Lube. I have the Dally. I have little Playground bottles that I just have in my purse all the time. Like, I will not do it. It's not safe. Because also, when you're dry, like, you just need a few drops. Because you just... You know, and you might be wet at the beginning, but not wet 10 minutes later. It just changes. And with our cycle, it changes every week. And so, if you don't use it yet, there's more tears. There's a bunch of reasons. But yes, lube, I'll send you some. We'll get your address.
Thank you. So we talked about lubricant, but like as far as you mentioned self-tanner early, let's get into this.
I love self-tanner.
Are you obsessed?
Yeah, but I need a good one. I just have someone come over and do it. But when they can't come over, like, what do you love? I bought the drops.
You know what makes me not feel sad? So smell is a really important thing to me, both with like a partner that I like their smell, but I have never been able to get over the scent when the DHA reacts.
Yes.
And your skin changes, the sugars get, even the best ones, and I know there's good ones, like I can't unsmell that smell. So I've just given up sort of on the
the self-tanner.
Self-tanner.
Yeah, I know. And I'm not going to do it on my own unless someone comes sprays it
everywhere.
I just
get real moisturized because I feel like half the time I'm not happy with my skin tone. It's just because it's ashy.
That's
it. Just needed like...
Exactly. No, you're absolutely right. So moisturizing could be part of your new routine when you're like, whenever you're moisturizing, maybe you're looking in the mirror for 5 minutes.
Yes, or I'll get some of that Osea, well, that you like. Have you, so you speak to all these people on your podcast that come on and have sexuality as part of like their life all the time. And I'm sure, you know, adult film stars, dancers, performers, have you learned anything from your guests, whether they're professionals or just regular people, about how to feel better naked?
Honestly, it just—
I'll give you one I have while you
yeah,
think.
Yeah, tell me.
Pink light bulbs, because I interviewed an exotic dancer— And she was like, you want to know why we all look good up there? It's the pink light bulb. It's not because we have like some amazing makeup. I was like, okay, tell me what body makeup. She's like, we can't wear body makeup. It'd be getting over everything.
Oh
and
God.
Like you get on someone's lap. No way. And she was like, just get a pink light bulb. Game changer.
That is a game changer.
Game changer.
Oh my God. I love that. Or, like I love like candlelight. I don't do overhead lights ever.
Yes, yes.
I always have candles going. Like I always light them all over the house. So much better. I just love feeling, I don't know, let's think what else I do. I feel like some of the things, I had this guy, Sean T, on my show, also Acast podcaster, a few weeks ago, and he was talking, he's like, he started the whole program, that workout program, he works like Beachbody, and he does the Insanity program, the workouts, and he was just like telling me this confidence thing, how he's just like, he's like, I just walk outside, like I think about who's the person that I want to be and then how would they be walking today? What would they be seeing? What would they be wearing? And like every time, and if he doesn't do this correctly, he turns on, goes back in. But then he'll like leave the house, he walks straight and he's like, and he just like looks up and he's just wearing his thing. And it's not that he's naked, just the way he moves through life, he's got this confidence and he's just always resetting about how he goes in the world, think about how I don't know, how he wants to be and how he wants to show up in the world. And he just talks about how all of that is informed him, like whether he's naked, whether he has clothes, he's always the same. And he just has that confidence. And I think it's when I was leaving the house, like sometimes I leave and I'm like, I hope I don't run into anyone or I don't want to see anybody. But I've been thinking about that. And I always try to think about like, why? Like, what are you hiding from? Like, just show up and be your most, you know, standing up tall, looking at putting on things that make you feel good. I think the pandemic was hard because a lot of it's just like, we're in sweats all day and we're not really paying attention to what we, you know, don't really care anymore. We're wearing masks, but now it's just, you know, it's confidence, truly. It truly is. And it's about visualizing who you want to be and how you want to be and being that person today.
And why bother if you're going to meet someone or not? Do it for yourself. Like if I'm not happy because I didn't do my hair, so I don't want to run into anyone, do my hair for my own self if that's going to make me feel good, right?
Yes. Who else?
I'm getting more selfish from my chat with you, Emily.
You're getting what?
Okay, before.
I love it.
I'm getting more selfish from chatting with
good
you.
Good chat.
In a good way.
I love it. It's about you. If you're,
yeah. So before we do our like, I'll let you go in a second, but before we do our Fat Mascara 5, I was thinking beauty products because you said Osea, you said self-tanner.
Mm-hmm.
What else is like your, like in part of your routine that you're loving?
Okay, I'm loving, okay, so this is what I just got. The Dr. Dennis Gross peel pads. Have you used those? These peel pads?
They're
classic, but I never use them. So I'm doing a reset of my skin right now. I'm very excited about that.
Oh, you're resetting.
I'm resetting.
Okay, is it going well?
Yeah, it is. I feel like it's really good.
They can be good for folliculitis on the butt, too.
Really?
Like if you have bumpy butt?
Yes. I've had that. Thank you very much.
Bit.
I love to know that. I like to see it. I like the Giorgio. It's so boring. Giorgio Armani Foundation. Not boring, but stuff I've been using.
No. Liquid Silk.
Forever.
Font, whatever that one. That's a great
But you
one.
Know what else? I mean, you want products, but what I do, which I think is a game changer, is my steam shower and the higher dose, the sauna blanket, like doing a sauna, infrared sauna and steam, like all the heat and the sweat for my skin has been like a game changer.
Wait, what's a steam shower? You have a shower that doesn't squirt water, but just
steams. Well, it's a shower, but then it also turns into steam. Like, you know, when you go to the gym and there's like a steam room?
Yes, like a steam room.
I have a steam shower room, a steam shower.
Could I install that like just in a regular shower faucet?
Yeah, I don't know if you
Why
probably.
Why do I not know about
you
this?
You probably could.
So you steam yourself up until you're like, pores are all open.
Yes.
Everything's like glowing.
And then I do my hair mask and my face skin mask and I do it all in the steam shower. So then I come out and I'm like glowing and my skin is hydrated. It feels so good. And then I put the Osea on and And then there's like a...
And then you do a higher dose. You do an LED. Yep. Do you have the mat?
I have the mat. I have everything. All of it. And I love it. I love the whole thing. I love the ritual of it.
Do you love it for like, you feel mood-wise better, or do you think it makes a visual aesthetic change?
I think that the more I do the sauna and the blanket, either I go to an infrared sauna place or I use the blanket, the more, I feel glowing. It helps your mood. Absolutely. It's good for calming your nervous system, anxiety, clarity, all the things. I have amazing breakthroughs and I feel like my skin is even, like everything's just like sweated out. I just feel...
That's when your breakthroughs come, when you're in your LED mode.
Yeah, when I'm sweating.
Like for a lot of people, it's the shower, at least for me, or when they're walking.
Exactly.
But yours is...
When I'm lying there sweating.
When you're infrareding.
Yeah, infrareding.
And Any other products you want to share with us? Mm. You got a favorite fragrance since I talked about... Smell being important. Mm. What goes with this white off-the-shoulder top? I see you. You'll have your self-tanner. You're feeling glowy. You got your old off-the-shoulder top. What do you smell like?
I smell like coconut. It's probably like coconut oil. I don't have anything. Okay. I honestly don't have a... I have like sprays and stuff that I use. I don't have anything like that's a signature scent.
It's not your thing. It's not your thing. You did say candles, though.
I love candles.
Can I ask what candles?
Yes.
Is there like a particular candle?
This is hard. I like Diptyque candles. Amazing. You know.
Yes.
I love massage candles are my favorite. So.
Oh, where like you can use the wax for things? Mm-hmm.
They're so.
I got one of those as a gift and I burned through it before I could even try and like pour it on anyone.
That's the best. Kiki Montparnasse has a great, they make laundry, but they also make a massage candle and it turns into like this delicious like massage oil that smells so good.
Do all these companies send you just like,
everything.
You have like just lubes coming to the house every day?
I have like 20 pounds of sex stuff. Yeah, sex toys and lube. And how about you? You must get beauty products all day, right?
I get beauty products, but you brought up like plushies or what are they? I was at a wedding once and like in the ballroom over was a plushie convention. Am I saying it right?
A furry?
Not plushie. A furry. Like, you know, people that like to dress up in... plush outfits to have sex. And I was just thinking like, oh, does she get sent like big bear costumes and stuff? Or people like keep it classy with
you? They keep it classy with me. I get lubed. I mean, they get what I want.
That's not classy.
No judgment.
People do you.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. Honestly, like I think if the good news is if I decided that I wanted a furry costume, I would know who to call. But because I've been doing this for so long, but I mostly get like lubes and toys and candles and, you know.
You're a good guest to a house guest to have over, I imagine. You always come with gifts when you go to your friend's house.
I always bring lube. I swear to God. But beautiful lube. And I bring toys. Like if you had a baby, I would bring you a sex toy that looks like a rubber ducky because you could actually leave it in the shower and use it for yourself. So like That's I always genius. Try to bring pleasure as a gift wherever I go. If people invite me to dinner, like you're going to get like a beautiful bottle of like a lubricant or a massage candle or something that, you know, will get you to... kind of think about your pleasure differently.
I'm going to invite you to dinner. That sounds fun.
I mean, if you want wine, I'll bring you wine as well, but also a bottle of something.
Sometimes that's also a sexual pleasure.
Exactly.
Okay. Before I let you go, we do this little speed round, and I did a custom one just for you because we were talking about being naked. So here it goes. What's your favorite naked scene in a movie?
Y Tu Mama Tambien. Do you remember that from like the early 2000s? It's so sexy.
I remember the movie was gorgeous and I don't remember the naked scene. I'm absolutely Googling it afterwards.
Yeah, it's a great threesome scene. It's hot.
Oh, it's a threesome. Okay. Even better. Three for the price of one. What's the best food to eat while naked?
Mango. Mango is the best. Fresh mango. Delicious.
Mm-hmm. Take the seed out, I guess, before you start getting
Or slice it up before.
Naked. That would make it better. I'm so practical. I guess you could tell I like a stat. I like science, practicality. I'm just thinking it's hard to put a mango sometimes.
I am not practical. We'd be good friends. We could help each other. No. Cut off the mango ahead of time.
Okay, we talked briefly about bad naked. So in my world, there's good naked activities and bad naked activities. What would you consider the worst bad naked activity?
I'd say like cooking with like hot oil or something that like splashes everywhere, like
frying. Let's not deep
good.
Fry.
Yeah. Let's not too much around the kitchen.
What about good naked? What's the best good naked activity?
Showering or swimming naked. Showering
steaming
together.
Steaming after we learned about the steam
steaming,
shower.
Obviously, yeah.
Yeah.
Steaming, swimming, showering.
Oh, well then you might not have an answer for this last one, but I was going to ask you what's your favorite fragrance to wear when naked.
I would say, oh, you know what I would use for years? I know you do because I wear Jo Malone Nectarine Honey Blossom and I've been wearing that for 10 years. So that is my scent, but I want to try new scents.
Well, if you said you like, I assume you like mangoes if we're going to eat them when we're naked. And you've mentioned a couple juicy things over the course of our chat and a couple coconutty things. So I feel like I know what world you could play in with fragrance. Yeah.
Tell me.
So I'm gonna think on that for you.
Okay.
But at the very least, like coconut oil always smells good and mango juice always smells good, right?
Yeah, they do. Exactly. That always works. I don't know. I'm always switching out different products and brands. Like I'm not loyal to anything right now, but I do get like oily product, coconut oil. Can't even think of what it is. Anyway, yes. Give me a recommendation. I'll take it and I'll send you some lube and it'll be great. Here, Jen.
And I'll go get a Kiki Montparnasse candle. This was really fun. I feel like, I hope everybody's going to go spend a little naked time this week.
I hope so too. I hope so too.
Get to know all the parts.
Jen, I'm so glad you had this conversation. I think it's an important one. So thank you for inviting me on your show
to talk
about this.
Thank you for coming on Fat Mascara.
I love it. I love being on. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed the show. It's your reviews and feedback that help us make the podcast even better. Head over to iTunes to rate and review us or email your thoughts to info@fatmascara.com. We also want to answer your beauty questions and hear what products you love. To share a Raise a Wand product review or to ask a beauty question, email us at info@fatmascara. If you send it as a voice memo file, we can even share your voice on the podcast. You can also do that by leaving us a voice message. Our phone number in the United States is 646-481-8182. Thanks so much for listening.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.